upon me. But before I do that, the Lord had reminded me that I need to share something else. You know, my daughter knew that I was going to be coming here and sharing this message with you. And she wanted to to do my hair and cut my beard and groom me. And she also told me not to be worried. It'll all be fine. So I just want to thank my daughter for what she had said and what she had done for me. Kind of bring me to tears. I have beautiful children and grandchildren and a beautiful great-grandbaby on the way. So I'd like to start with what I feel the Lord has impressed upon me and read it to you. In this message, are you ready for Jesus' return? It's up to each one of us to examine our hearts and to look deep within ourselves, letting us see exactly and where we are through the eyes of God and His Word, and not our own selves, not from others. It says, prepare yourselves, my children, clothing yourselves with garments of righteousness from me, and walk under the shadow of the Almighty God, not going left or right, but remaining on the straight and narrow, the road that leads unto eternal, everlasting life with your Lord and God. I love you and have loved you even when you were unfaithful, because I know your plight, yes, your sin. Yet it is my blood that has cleansed you and made you white as snow. Yes, you still battle the old ways, but truly you are a new creation. And what I've made new, nothing can touch, for I have sealed you with my spirit of promise, a pledge offering of which no spirit nor any of mankind can touch. I am Almighty God, and what I watch over and protect, none can harm your spirit, man, for you are in my hand and the Father's, and nothing can touch you. Stay close, clinging to me, for the hour is truly late, and all the earth in groaning, and the adversary Satan about to put his ruler filled with himself in place. So in light of this, you should be filled with me and ready. For I am coming back for my bride, and she will be without spot, wrinkle, or any such blemish. As you rest in me and walk with me. The enemy of this world has no favorites. He is desirous of stealing, killing, and destroying my sheep as led to the slaughter. So keep to the task I've given you and share forth going from one place to another. For many will come, but many, many more will reject my love and my salvation because of deceit and lies, hardness of heart. Yet nothing is impossible with me. Hold fast, stand on my word, stand on my promises. The rest of what I'm going to share here is from God's Word. I believe God gave me that, but I'm reading the Scripture, the Word of God, and that's what convicts us. That's what brings us to Him, and we should all pay attention to what He shares in His Word. So I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20, and we're going to go through a few of the Scriptures there. God's Word does speak volumes, and He watches over His Word to perform it, and we need to remember that. He says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Jesus wanted His followers to be able to separate the good, the teaching that leads to Christ, and the bad, the horrid, the false teaching. They, the false prophets and teachers, sow. And they will share to bring a gospel of good works and good deeds, even allowing you to sin and do what you want. But it does not include the road that is straight and narrow and only through Jesus. So we need to remember that. Jesus stated and shared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy, but I've come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." God wants us to have everything that we need to be sustained here and into eternity, and He's made that provision for us. Then Jesus proceeded to share on the one He never knew in Matthew 7:21 through 23. He said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now, in the that word work also means to practice. And in the NASB it says, "And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Now, you want to remember when this verse is coming to us that Jesus is talking to the one that comes to him and says, "I'm sorry, Lord, for what I've done." He's not broken and contrite in his heart. He's not grieving for what he's done and grieving the Holy Spirit. But he says, "I'm sorry." But that night or even the next day, he goes right back to what he was doing before. And it's a continuing process. God doesn't recognize that. If our heart's not truly there and it's not broken and contrite and we're not sorry for our sins, then God will not allow that person into the kingdom of heaven because that person is practicing sin. Because the person who is truly a believer or one that is supposed to be walking with him is not going to be wanting to sin and grieve the Holy Spirit and quench him. Because that's exactly what happens when you practice sin. You sear your conscience and your heart becomes hardened and you don't pay attention to the Spirit anymore and you've wandered away and you become lost. And when it comes time to come before the Lord, you can't enter the doors. That's not my words. That's God's word. And it's strong. Before Jesus talked on fruit, good and bad prophets and teachers, discerning through the Holy Spirit the good fruit and the bad, then he shared, "Not all people who are what they declare to be are what they are." He says, people can be discerned through their fruit and their walk, but not their talk. If they're not walking the talk, then they're not actually what they say they are. We are to be fruit inspectors. We can see. We're not judgers. God is that ultimate judge of all things. But we can see that we would not be deceived. This would be the case of professing Christianity instead of possessing it. And then Jesus went on to give us foundation teaching of building your house on the rock in Matthew 7:24 through 27. He said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Jesus Christ is the rock. He is our rock. He is our Savior. "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and does not do them shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." The first part is practicing obedience based upon Jesus' words. We hear what he says, it comes into here, and then we put them into action. We do them. That's what we're supposed to do. Practicing obedience builds on a solid foundation of Jesus' words to weather the storms of life, overcoming the evil one through Jesus. Situations and mountains will come into our lives. God does not guarantee us a rose bush without thorns. It has thorns, and our life will have a thorny road. There's no two ways about it. But the situations of mountains that truly take place in our life, we will walk through them, but Jesus never leaves us nor forsakes us. If He's inside of us, is He not going through it with us? And it says in Psalm 139 and throughout the Bible, He knew us before the foundation of the world. He knows everything we're going to face before we face it. This is called trust. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, which leads to understanding and knowledge and discernment. God says that if we will obey Him, it was Jesus Christ, backing up a moment here, it's Jesus Christ who gave us peace with God the Father. Without that peace, we could not enter in and become children of God. It was through the blood of Jesus that this happened. But we do not only want peace with God, we want that peace of God. And if we don't have the peace of God, we're not walking in truth and relying on Him. What are we doing? It's called unbelief. The only way we can do that is to trust God through every situation that we go through, knowing that He knew about it before. Paul said to be content no matter what state we're in, because in that state that we enter, we can be strengthened through Christ to go through it all. And everything that we go through, He will help us. If we will keep that in our hearts and stay attuned to it, then we will go a long ways. And then this is concerning, are we ready for Jesus' return? So I wanted to read a few verses out of chapter 24 and then go into a few more things the Lord laid on my heart. There's a lot of scripture, but the bottom line is we need God's word sown into our hearts as good seed to eject or put off the things of the flesh so we can march forward with the Lord. So he was having a briefing with his disciples, but just before that briefing took place, one of his disciples in Matthew 24, 1, Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to him to point out the temple buildings to them, how beautiful and ornate they were and all the stones and beautifulness of it. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Truly, I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another which will not be torn down." Now, this was going to happen 40 years approximately from when Jesus said this to them. Because in 70 AD, the Romans completely demolished Jerusalem and killing countless thousands upon thousands of Jewish people. And they did it. They tore that temple down, because the gold is what they wanted from it, along with all the precious other things that were in it. But they destroyed it. Then Jesus goes on, and he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, and his disciples came to him, and this was the briefing he gave them. He says, the disciples came to him privately in verse 3, saying, "Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And Jesus answered them and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you're not frightened, for these things must take place, but that is, the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But in all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains." Now, we know that they start slowly, birth pains do. I wouldn't say the men know that, but the women certainly do. And they gain momentum until all of a sudden it's just one thing right after another for the pain. Well, that's what the Lord is saying about when you start to see these things happen, it's going to be like a woman giving birth to a baby and the birth pains coming on. That starts slowly, as we see around the world. Things have been slowly escalating here and around the world. We've been seeing pestilence and diseases and famines, and we've been seeing earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars and all sorts of things. And now our eyes are on Israel. All eyes are there right now, because that's where we're all led in this time and season when everybody's coming against her. He says, then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations of my name, because of my name. Now remember, Daniel wrote of this in the book of Daniel. You may want to look at that in your own time, but it's important. But when he was talking, and Daniel was addressing it to the Jewish population at that time, sharing what would take place. But in sharing that, it also shared in there that all the things that were going to take place to the Jews at that time would be brought about and happen also in the world, as it is today still. So when that's taking place, he's talking to the Jews here also, and he's laying out what's going to happen. He's also laying out what will happen to the Christians and what's going to take place. And we will be hated by all nations because of his name. He said persecution will run rampant. So they'll stop their ears. They don't want to hear the truth. And they're going to be killing Christians all around the world. To this date, today, we have more Christians that have been killed at this time and date than any season in history ever. And that has been documented. How they got those documents, I don't know. But they're happening all over. And our brothers and sisters are in dire straits. But they are enduring because they are going to be saved. They look at the name of Jesus and they stand for him. Because they know, just like Jesus knew, he took the cross for us because he knew what was ahead of him. And that's the same thing we have to look. We look to eternity, not for right now. This is a short time for us. It's at that time many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Because of fear and persecution, that of being killed for Jesus' namesake. It says in John 15:20, remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. And in Matthew 10:28, it says, do not fear those who can kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. You know, Jesus shared these scriptures, and he didn't share them just to throw them out there. He expects us to pay attention to it and let his spirit, to be sensitive to his spirit and to respond to him. Many false prophets will arise and mislead many. And it has happened and it is happening now right in the churches around our nation and around the world. Pastors and teachers teaching mistruths, lying to the sheep, tearing down what God has given them through the adversary, Satan. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. That leads to apostasy. It leads to a falling away of who those were that were Christians. The love was in them, but the love grew cold. They wandered away. They wandered into the world. They gave up and compromised because of fear, because of being persecuted, because they wanted to save their life over giving it for Christ. There's a lot of other reasons, but apostasy with many professing Christians will be because of that, because of persecution and fear. And they will deny the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior to save their own souls. This is one of the things to happen in the times of the end of the end times, which is happening right now. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Now, there's more verses in there that talk about the abomination of desolation. That would be during the tribulation and the great tribulation that's going to come upon Israel. The bride is supposed to be removed before that. We are the bride. Those are the believers. And that will take place. And then the coming of the Son of Man, which is the second coming. He's supposed to come and he will be asked to come back by Israel himself. Now, a pre-tribulationist would say that the gathering of the elect, which is the elect that God was talking about for gathering all those when He comes back. But the pre-tribulation people, we believe that we're going to be taken out of here and that the bride will be taken out because the wrath of God is not for His church. It's for the earth dwellers that have rejected Jesus as Lord and Savior, and to deal with Israel and bring them to a place where they would receive or ask for Jesus to come back. And He will come back. Now I'm going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is called, it deals with the coming of the Lord, the catching away of the rapture. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18, He says, "But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." I entitle this to be prepared. Are we ready for Jesus' soon return? Are we ready for Him to come back for His bride? I pointed out in Matthew 24 where He warns of the things that are going to happen. He's not bringing fear upon us. He says He does not give us a spirit of fear, but of love, of a sound mind, and power. Thank you. I have it written down in here, but I try to remember. Anyway, He didn't give us a spirit of fear. We are to look to Him. He is preparing His church for His soon arrival. He's telling us we will be persecuted. We will be persecuted because we trust in Jesus. The adversary hates Jesus. He hates God. He hates Israel. And he will do everything he can to destroy us. God is preparing us that we would make it to the end, to His coming back for us, even if that means we may lose our lives. But if we want to save our lives and renounce His name because we fear what will take place to us, then we will not be with Him. But the greatest thing out of all this is that He will strengthen us. He's inside of us. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, He is our strength. He will give us that spirit of love, that spirit of forgiveness, to love those that say all manner of evil, who do all manner of evil to us, that we are to love them and bless them and pray for them that despitefully use us. These are the things He's asked us to do, but He's preparing us. And I want you to see where in Matthew 24, He gave us a list of things that was going to take place, both to Israel and to the church and around the world. And here he is, Paul is dealing and sharing with the Corinthians to put them at ease, to let them know that the dead are not just dead. Their spirits went to be with the Lord. As soon as they died, they were face to face with the Lord. Anyway, I have some scriptures in here that I'll probably end up reading to you and repeating myself, but that's okay. In 1 Thessalonians 5:9, which I just said a few moments ago, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but of obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another, build up one another, just as you are also doing." He was talking about the Thessalonians, but he was also, this church, that letter is to us also. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm going to read a few verses out of that, but I'm going to start with verse 50 and go to 52 and then read verse 58. In 1 Corinthians 15:50, "Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. That's where they're meeting the Lord in the air that I read you a few moments ago that Paul was talking about, to meet the Lord in the clouds. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So I have something final I would like to share with us. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 3. No, I'm not going to go through everything that's in there. There are 17 things he talks about in there. But I want to go over the first verse. And I want to share it and go over it. In Paul's letter to Timothy, in the second letter, it happened that Nero, in I think it was 54 A.D., that he became emperor. Well, Nero was a narcissist, and he was one of those people that was always I, me, everything for me. He wanted to build himself a great buildings and great statues and this and that. And the Senate wouldn't let him tear down and put things where he wanted to do it. So in turn, Nero decided to send out someone to burn down part of Rome. And I'll read to you what it says here. The great fire of Rome began on the night of 18 to the 19th of July of 64. It destroyed three of Rome's 14 districts, severely damaged seven more. The Senate blamed Nero, but Nero concocted a story and sold it to the Senate that the Christians had done it. He laid out some of the own scriptures that we have given to each other and turned them around and sold it to the Senate, and then they had a manhunt. That's when the persecution began from Rome, who were actually the world leader at that time. Out of that, Paul was arrested and was waiting in jail to be killed. Out of this, we have innumerable Christians who were the atrocities and the things that were done to them, I'm not even going to go into. I don't want to. It's too sad. It's horrible. But I thank God that He was there with each one, that every life is precious to Him, and He sees each one that comes to Him. Many died for that. Before Nero did this, the world was able to worship any god that they wanted and not be persecuted for it, as long as they worshiped Rome, the Roman emperor. That was something the Christians couldn't do either. But when this happened, I take it back. Let me just back up a little bit. They did have persecution from the Jews. The Jews did not agree with Christianity and Jesus being who He said He was. They never accepted it. They are blind, a lot of them, to this day. But praise God, He's opening the eyes of many of them, and many of them are turning and becoming Jewish believers. And I am thankful for that, because that's what it's all about, for everyone to come to Christ. He's not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. So when all this was going on, Timothy, who is in Ephesus was one of the largest churches of that time. He was put there by Paul to put leaders into place, to teach and to bring forth the good news and just to further it. Well, when Nero started this persecution, and we're going to see persecution here in the United States that we have never seen before. It is coming, and it's already happening around the world. Members of the body of Christ were leaving that church. Leaders were vacating and leaving that church. Timothy was broken in his heart. He was saddened, disenchanted, and was losing it. He wrote a letter to Paul. Paul received it. And Paul could discern the tears that he had and what was taking place. So out of this, I shared all that to give you a background and also something that you can see when I read this, what it's going to be saying. I want to go to 2 Timothy 4:12 first. 2 Timothy 1:4-5, excuse me. Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. This is Paul writing to Timothy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded is in you also. Wherefore I am putting you in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God. We all have gifts and talents, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. And this is where Paul says to him, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, which I tried to quote earlier, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now being made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now, in reading that, we will go to 2 Timothy 3:1. It says in the first verse, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. This is an emphatic. This is known as also as perilous, as dangerous, hazardous, full of risk, a perilous undertaking, a perilous situation. The word perilous is actually chalapos, and I'm not a Greek person, but that's the Greek word. And it was also used in one other place, which gives us an idea of what we're looking at, and you can see throughout our country and the world. In Matthew 8:28, it says, and when he, Jesus, was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. What is being shared here and through that verse there is we are going to see the same type of people here throughout the world. These are the end of the end times, the last days. So what the Holy Spirit was impressing upon us is that these last days, meaning just as a ship had come into its last dock and it had docked, it was not going to leave again, that the people who are in this period right now, this generation, are going to see these things that Jesus has talked about in Matthew 24. And what Paul has talked about of us waiting for the rapture is going to take place. That these things that he's talking about in chapter 3 is going to happen on a greater measure than ever before. It's not that it's going to happen. It's already happening. Look at our colleges. Look at the college kids, they're joining in with people they don't even know. They're being deceived by the devil. They're being led astray. They're blinded. The God of this world has taken them over because they don't have the God that's right, which is Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Without Him, they can be deceived. Without Him, they will be deceived. Thanks be to God, though, that nothing's impossible with Him. He can reach all and anybody. He can get His good news out. But it's up to a person's choice and will to give it unto God. That's the important thing. That's what we must look to, our author and finisher. He will finish what He has begun in His children. He will carry us forward. The last days of Pentecost, at the Pentecost, with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, in Joel 2:28, I just wanted to read that. He says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And Peter made this declaration when he was declaring the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So we've been in the last days for 2,000 years. But what Paul is making mention here is now that we are in the last of the last days, when we see all these things that we're seeing now throughout the world and even in our own country, that we are in that last port. we are docked, and the people that are in it now are going through whatever's going to take place. And that is what God is preparing us for. And if we will not be prepared and keep our eyes on Him, we will be deceived. I don't want to say me, but you will be deceived. And you will be led astray. You will wander. You will want to protect yourself. You don't want to give your life for Christ. And you will renounce Him to save your life. And yet your life will not be saved here, because you will die in one form, way, or fashion. And then you will end up in judgment. And for turning Him away, you condemn yourself. There is condemnation to those that reject Christ. And that's what it's all about. We need our Lord and our Savior to be with us, and us to walk with Him. He's in us. But we need to walk with Him through His Spirit, being sensitive, especially in this hour. So taking that into account, I want to read something from the Renner Interpretive Version of 2 Timothy, just the first verse. Pay attention to this and hear it. You emphatically and categorically, this is from the original Greek, need to know with unquestionable certainty that in the very end of days, when time has sailed to its last port and no more time remains for the journey, that last season will stand in the midst of uncontrollable, unpredictable, hurtful, treacherous, menacing times that will be emotionally difficult for people to bear. That's why Paul gave to Timothy and said, we do not have that spirit of fear. We have Jesus Christ within us. And then he goes on. The first one that he talks about, I said I was not going to go through these, and I'm not, because it would take too much time. But he said the first one, for men will be lovers of self. They will be narcissists. They will be the I, me generation. I want this. I want that. Leave me alone. I'm not giving anything to you. I don't want to hear what you have to say. I want nothing to do with you. And that's what we're seeing today. And that's just the first one out of 17. And if you break down every one of those, you'll see what exactly it is he was talking about. Now, the reason I shared that and I shared the others is that we would be prepared. So it says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves to see whether you are living in the life of trust. Test yourselves. Don't you realize that Yeshua the Messiah is in you, unless you fail the test? That's from the complete Jewish Bible. Is the fruit of the Holy Spirit being worked in your life? Are you putting off the works of the flesh and putting on the things of God? Are you sensitive to the Holy Spirit? These are questions for all of us. If we're not actively seeking to grow closer to God, we are actually drawing further away from Him. Are we allowing the Spirit of God to change us? Or are we compromising our values and living a worldly life where the world cannot see you as the light and the salt anymore? These are things that happen when we begin to backslide, when we begin to wander, when we decide that we don't want to do everything God's asked us to do. We let sin take over our lives. In Matthew 6:19, it says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust and destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, in verse 6:21 of Matthew, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We must ask ourselves, is Jesus our greatest treasure? Are we madly in love with Him? He's madly in love with us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is love. That is the greatest love. And then Jesus, on teaching of our needs, He gives us what we must do. There's one simple thing. He said in Matthew 6:33, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And are you lacking? It says in Matthew 7:7, Keep asking and it will be given you. Keep seeking and you will find. Keep knocking and the door will be opened unto you. Have faith. Step forward. But if you don't receive these things, because James says in his word that if you pray and you want these things and yet you're going to consume them upon your own lusts, they won't be given to you. So be careful what spirit, what heart you ask things from God for. If you are truly walking with Him, He knows this, and He'll be glad to bless you with what you need. Jesus is madly in love with us, but we need to pray, we need to read, we need the times to fast. We need to die to self and crucify the flesh. That means putting down the desires of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Yes, we still battle, but we have the Christian's bar of soap, as it's called by many. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we humble ourselves before Him and truly repent, He will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, forgetting our sins as far as the east is from the west. This is not condemnation that I'm bringing forth today. This is the Word of God. God is sharing forth to be prepared. And if you're not prepared and you have wandered or you have backslidden, He wants you to know that He's there. He's calling out to you. He wants you to return to your first love. He wants you to run to Him. Just as with the prodigal son that Jesus says the father ran out to meet him. Also, as Jesus left the 99 sheep and went after the one that wandered away. So if you have wandered or backslidden, I'm coming to the end of my message. So if you have wandered or backslidden and you've been pricked in your heart, the Holy Spirit is urging you to turn away from your ways back to Jesus. Repenting. Just walk each day with the Lord through His Spirit. Go to Him. Tell Him you're sorry and mean it. And turn from it and walk. And you can return and pick up your walk with Him and go. That's what we're to do. God loves us. He forgives us. He looks to us. He wants us. It says in Isaiah 53:5, and we had communion today, He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon Him, and by His scourging we are healed. To the one that does not know Jesus, our Lord and Savior, He went to the cross, was crucified, put in a tomb, and raised 3 days later. And this is what He did for us. In 1 Peter 2:24 it says, "And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds we were healed." It says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." But Romans 5:8 says, "But God commended His love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." In Romans 10:9-10, if a person wants to come to the Lord, this is what we do. It says, "Because if you will confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth one confesses unto salvation." It says, "And for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. But the one who does not believe on Him will be ashamed when they stand before Him." And He shows that you're not in the Lamb's book of life. You rejected Him, and you will be cast into the lake of fire with eternal torments of darkness and pain. That's not what Jesus wants. That's not what He wants. The Holy Spirit convicts you to make you realize you're a sinner. He pricks your heart and shows you that you need Jesus as Lord and Savior. If you'll turn to Him and ask Him, He will save you. The gospel is the good news, which is a message of forgiveness for sin through the atoning work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says in Corinthians 15:1-4, it says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I pass on to you of the first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. So if you in your heart believe and repent, you will be saved. You will become a new creation, and God will fill you with His Spirit, and He will give you that ability to overcome the sins of the flesh. It says in John 10:27, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give eternal life to them, and they shall not perish, never. Not anyone shall pluck them out of My hand. My Father has given them to Me as greater than all. No one is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand." Let's take a moment and bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank You for Your gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You that You made a way before the foundation of the world where there was no way. For in the name of Jesus, if one will turn to Him and repent and confess their sin, Jesus will reach out and touch him and fill him with His Spirit, and you'll be saved. So I know, Lord God, that You have done everything that You can do for us. It's up to us to turn to You. So I say to the one that's out there who's wandered, who's backslidden, that's in sin, turn to Him with your whole heart. Confess your sins before Him and get back on that straight and narrow road, instead of the road that's wide and leads to death for practicing sin. Do not any longer practice sin if you are in it. To the one who has not received Jesus, if you happen to be listening to this, and I hope you are, He says, call upon the name of the Lord. Ask Him to come into your heart and fill you. Admit you're a sinner and that you have need for Him, and He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and He will come in and make His abode with you. In other words, He will fill you with His Spirit. He will give you treasure of God in this earthen vessel, and He will help you to walk the life you need to walk. In Jesus' name, we thank You and praise You, O God, for all that You have done. Amen. I thank you for joining us here at Living Waters Community Church. Thank you.